Hello, everyone. I wanted to welcome you to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Since we're all stuck at home anyway, I wanted to remind you that there will be two episodes every week until we're no longer all stuck together, virtually anyway. And I'll be adding more and more live type of situations and really cool type of things. Also, I'm working on a giveaway for Patreon supporters, so if you want to get in on that, head over to patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. Other than that, just check us out on Facebook. You know, just give us a search and say hi every once in a while. Post your favorite episode, a silly picture. We appreciate it, and we look forward to a quick end of this, but at the same time, it does give me an opportunity to catch up with a lot of backlog. So enjoy the episode. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I am on with Megan Parker tonight. How are you, Megan?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. This is the second recording of the evening. Something you did screwed it up, and
always my fault.
It was the Mac had a mind of its own and stopped recording. So now I'm paranoid, and I'm just going to be staring at my Mac the whole time. All right. One day I'll take a picture of the recording setup I have, and it is just one of these ridiculously insane looking monstrosities that I don't know. But nonetheless, I'll make sure that we do not screw up. I do not screw up again. Sorry. We.
I'll take a fall. It's fine.
I appreciate that. Tonight we're going to be discussing, and I said it before, so some of my jokes will sound even more rehearsed to you, only you. We are going to be playing the Halloween episode of Little House on the Prairie from 1974, which has nothing to do with Halloween.
Yep.
It is, do you want to talk about that, what episode it is and all that good stuff?
It's season 1, episode 8, Town Party, Country Party.
Yeah. So yeah, October 30th,
1974. Wow.
And we're both early 70s people, so born in the early 70s.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I mean, this is, I love watching stuff from when I was either just born or, you know, it was around that era. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's kind of entertaining. It's my own personal thing. But so in this episode, we have Kim Richards, who is another Long Islander.
That's right. Born in Mineola.
Mineola. So, just so everyone knows, Megan and I both live kind of nearish to each other here on Long Island. So you're the first person from Walnut Grovecast that I ever met. And it was very nice meeting you and your child.
You as well.
One of your children.
And your beer.
Yes. Yes. I brought your beer.
Oh, and your wife.
My wife and my beer.
Yes.
you... So there's a joke there somewhere. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to play a couple clips real quick because I want to catch us up to where we were. And we're going to have a little example of poor Olga, who is a girl that we have never seen before and we'll never see again.
Yep.
And you made an excellent point before. She looks exactly like the stuttering girl. Yes. Or stammering girl. I forget. Stuttering, right?
Stuttering, yep.
So, she really does. Kim Richards looks really like that girl's doppelganger.
Yes.
So, here we go. This is, the girls just kind of playing together outside of the schoolhouse.
Margaret. Three on a side. Only three. Four. Choose four or give up. You can choose Olga.
No.
She's no good at relay.
What a terrible thing to hear about yourself. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, why don't you just tell me exactly what I'm not good at?
Yeah, I mean, she's already, you know, sitting by herself looking so sad on the steps.
Yeah.
It helped to be pointed out. Thanks.
And like we were saying, well, there should have been some level of teacher intervening here a little bit.
Yeah.
But as you said, Miss Beadle's probably too busy scheming. Looking for a husband or a way to kill kids. That's a whole other episode. So we do that. They play. We see poor Olga has a shorter leg. She has a really bad limp. And she's even walking home from school alone. The whole thing is kind of sad.
Yes.
Now, this brings us to the creek. And Laura is looking at a crab that we were saying is that actually is from Minnesota, right? You found out through your research that crawfish actually do also, I guess, live in Minnesota.
Yes.
I can't imagine. I always love them as a warm climate type of creature.
Yeah, I was surprised too, but you know, just prompted me to look it up because she kept calling it a crab, and it's not a crab. No.
Crawfish or crawdaddy, yeah, or whatever they're called. You know, aren't crayfish the ones with the shell?
I think they're just the same thing. The cray and craw. It's just a matter of how they're pronouncing in the region. I guess regional difference is all.
Like little tiny lobsters.
Yes. It does look delicious, though.
They are delicious. You make them, but I have made them at home. And what I'll use is the crystal hot sauce, which is not the easiest thing to find in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're supposed to make it with that. And my wife will not. She'll eat it without the hot sauce, but she just is not a big spice person. So
gotcha.
If I'm making, I'm making two different batches. I pointed out the music here is very, very unique, and it is in line with a Halloween type of theme, but there is no Halloween theme.
Right.
Even though, realistically, tomorrow's Halloween. And you pointed out how that sounds a lot like the Brady Bunch. So,
yeah.
And it really does. It's kind of like Bobby coming in with like a flat tire on his wheel because somebody bullied him.
Exactly.
All right, so there's some dialogue between Laura and Mary where Mary just kind of comes in very boisterous and loud.
Why did you have to yell that way? Between you and Jack, I'm never going to find out.
Find out what?
That crab could snap his stick in two. You scared him off.
Better stay away from him before he snaps you in two.
Oh, no, he couldn't do that. I'm too big and his snappers are too little.
You're not going to find out now. Ma wants you back at the house. She's got something to tell us.
And then we talked about corn, not corn fritters. We talked about apple fritters.
Apple fritters.
Corn fritters are another thing that I remember. And I really don't like them at all. I don't know.
Think I've ever had them.
Yeah, they're not good. And well, to me, they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of greasy. Most fritters I've had are pretty greasy. So.
Well, yeah, but I would imagine because you're just dropping it into a big old vat of grease.
A big old. So here we go. This is the news.
I found her, Ma. She was down by the pond. Big dapples.
Your pa likes apple fritters.
So do I.
Me too.
I have a surprise for you. You're going to a party.
We are?
Mm-hmm.
You mean a real one?
Yes. I was in the mercantile today, and Mrs. Olson invited you both to Nellie's birthday party tomorrow.
Do we have to go?
Laura.
Well, you know how Nellie is.
I know she was kind enough to invite you to her party. How would you feel if you were the only one who wasn't invited?
Worse than being invited. Yes.
All right, remember that when you wish her a happy birthday.
But aren't we supposed to take a present? We don't have anything to give her.
I
Give her curry. You know, by the way, she's really cooking that, or at least it's a sound effect. That I don't think they would mix in a sound effect. They wouldn't bother, would they?
I don't know. They put a lot of sound effects in here that I thought were a little bit weird, especially when they were punching each other. And it didn't sound like a punch. It sounded like, I don't know, they were like hitting a wall with a brick or something.
I don't know. I mean, she is putting these fritters in a cast iron pan that looks properly seasoned. And it's just kind of interesting. Wonder if Karen Gross is like, I'll make some apple fritters for everybody.
She's multitasking.
Yeah.
I can think of something. Ma, don't let her.
Well, a present isn't necessary. But you could give her a big bunch of those lovely wildflowers that are growing out back.
That's a good idea.
All right, you two run along. I want to see your shoes polished so they shine like a
Christmas penny.
Sunday smile.
Sunday smile. Very nice. I've never heard these. This is so different than what Little House on the Prairie would become in later
season. It is. This season is a lot different. I think that's why I like it. It's just a very, it's kind of a sweeter season. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's a little more innocent, I guess, and not so
hell-bent on selling ads.
Yeah, well, even, you know, you even notice Mrs. Olsen. She's not as nasty and mean as she is as the seasons progress, you know.
Oh, I agree with you. And,
I mean, she's still mean, but she's not, like, you know, to the level that she gets later seasons.
Yeah, we've seen a much more angry Harriet.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to play a little bit of the dinner chat, though, that night. And this is an example of the sweetness that I think you're talking about. And this really reminds me of the books.
Mm-hmm.
The books had that innocence and, you know, just the way they are talking. And it's, even if they're kind of messing with each other, it's not malicious on any level.
Right.
Yet.
Thank you. I'll have some more apple fritters. Mm.
Serve yourself.
Laura.
Thank you.
Pa,
get up and get up.
Do you remember that crab I showed you? When it was under the rock in Plum Creek?
I hope you've been keeping your distance.
Oh, I have. Laura, that's not... Well, I have. Never get too close. What I was wondering is, do you figure he could snap a stick in two?
Oh, depends the size of the stick.
What about people? Could he bite off my whole big toe?
No, he couldn't bite your big toe off. But he could give you a pinch you wouldn't forget in a hurry, I guarantee you that.
You haven't told your pa about the party.
Who's having a party?
Nellie Olson. It's her birthday tomorrow, and we're invited. I can hardly wait.
And that's where I had to stop it before. She's so excited. It's like, oh, she's going to punch me right in the face. Like, Nellie hates you, Mary. Hates you.
Yeah. I mean, at least Laura was more realistic of, you know, the whole, do I have to go?
Yeah, and that's exactly what she says right here.
I can. Do you suppose their house is like Nellie's always saying? Botten rugs in every room?
Botten.
Lace curtains? Way she tells it? They got just about everything.
I'll tell you one thing they don't have.
What's that, Pa?
Apple fritters like your mom makes.
Oh, this man.
He's such a sweet talker.
Like, seriously, it's like, calm it down. Let them go to their party and get out of the house first. Always with the googly eyes.
Or a sister with an appetite like that.
You're Gracie killing that corn.
Ugh, so gross.
it's like an ASMR thing. I don't know. I guess I imagined it was a little bit noisier. That would have been a funny sound effect.
It looks very.
You know. So, all right. So here we are. We're still recording, which I'm very happy about. We talked about this next scene, which is just very strange. Laura's in the front of the house, and she's in a tub, and she's giving herself a bath. And we get her first, I'm hoping this is our first topless scene. And it's full, you know, it shows the whole upper torso of a 10-year-old girl. And it's just not something that we would see today on television.
Not at all.
I feel like somebody would be in trouble for this.
Oh, there would be big trouble for this. Yeah, this could. I mean, look, you can get in trouble for innocent pictures you have in your cell phone of your children.
Yeah.
You know, much less. Yeah, this would never fly. And it did make me feel a little bit like.
Yeah, it's kind of questionable. It's and it was just not necessary. So.
No.
Yeah. I always kind of wonder, like, I wonder what Melissa Gilbert thinks of that. Probably not much of anything. Probably she's just like, whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it's just.
But even though at 10, I don't think I would have been comfortable doing that on the set as an actress.
My son wouldn't be comfortable showing his nipples.
Right. That's what I mean. I remember being like 4 and not wanting to go swimming without a shirt, you know, like.
Mm-hmm.
To be on set, knowing that's going to be on TV, it just seems a little, I don't know. It just seems weird to me.
Try not to judge her. No, I'm kidding. You're just trying to, you know, get. All right. So over in Olga's house, in the Nordstrom's house, mm-hmm. and you learned a very interesting fact about Nordstrom's.
Yes.
Could you share that?
Nordstrom's, which is the name of. The store and the last name of these fine people on the show originally started out as a shoe store.
And this all turns into a shoe store. Maybe they stole the patent from the Ingalls. You know,
it was such a lovely look that Pa made. They had to snap it up. So.
I never understood why you didn't paint it black.
I didn't get that either. I just, you couldn't have spent that couple of extra minutes.
Or, you know, paint it white to make it stand out even more. Just don't leave it plain wood.
No.
But yeah, I thought that was a little bit odd. But anyway, all right, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yes.
Here's the dialogue between this man who sadly lost his wife at some point and now lives with his mother who helps raise Olga.
Yep.
I've been thinking... I would like you to stay home with us.
It's a party, Papa. Nanny sent up a cake, cookies, and games.
Games? What kind of games?
I don't know, Papa.
Running games? Like I see them play at school?
Maybe, Papa. But if so, I sit and watch like I do at school. Do I look all right, Papa?
Yes, very nice.
He seems cold and distant, but he's just really just being a protective father, in my opinion.
Yes, he's just not going about it in the right way. But, you know, this was 1874.
Yeah, 1874.
So
this is them. Olga leaves and they're going to talk a little bit about Olga behind her back.
You said she needed school? Right, she goes to school.
She has to learn.
She needs to know she could learn from you.
She needs friends her own age.
I have seen her in the schoolyard, sitting by herself. She has no friends in that school. You would be better off staying home with us.
I have a fool for a son.
I have a mother who does not listen. At this party, she will try to keep up, try to run. She will fall and hurt herself.
No, she will not. She promised she wouldn't.
I had schooling. But I learned more from watching people. The animals. I have seen what a flock of chickens will do to one that is different from the rest.
Now, this is very graphic. Coming out.
Kill it, all of them. They swarm over it, trampling it, and they peck it to death.
Cheer up, buddy. Okay, Mom. This guy's just a barrel of laughs at a party. Wow. We all know people like this. These are the kind of people that don't like me too much. Like, cheer up, pal. Come on. You need a hug? I'll give you a hug.
It's not that bad.
Come on, turn that frown upside down. Let's watch Little House. So they get to Nellie's house, and Nellie's house is just as nice as I think they could have ever imagined. Lovely.
I don't think they could have imagined all that house holds.
So here they give Nellie the gifts and get the immediate response.
Hey, Nellie.
They're from both of us.
And this is for me and Cassie. I meet her myself, and you get to name her. We're playing.
She just tosses them to the
side. She didn't even like it.
Of course not.
Of course she did. She's just excited, is all. Let's see what they're playing.
No.
And who's this Christy girl, by the way?
She's a Kennedy. You see her and her brother and the father, you see. Like the first season or two, the Kennedys were always around.
But they never became a part of any story, right?
No, but they were in like 4 or 5 episodes. So
yeah, I have my note here that Christy's a brown noser. You'll see why later. But it's like she's she means well. I'm just being tough on her.
What's that? It ain't Noah's. It's mine.
I meant like Noah in the Bible.
And there's two of everything except for the giraffe, because Nellie hid it on me because she knew it was my favorite.
And we have a little Willie. Well, we have a very young Willie here. Jeez.
Whoops.
Yeah. We have the youngest Willie we've ever seen. Except for previous episodes, but it's so funny to see him. He must be, I mean, I'm not looking it up. Mm-hmm. What, is he 6 or 7 here? It's crazy.
Probably about that. He's super cute.
And he nails all of his lines. He does well.
Mm-hmm.
Did not. You lost it. Did not. You took it.
I will. It's your sister's birthday.
Nobody cares about your old arc anyway.
Now, there's no sense in fussing over the Ark when you have so many other toys to play with.
They can't play with my toys. They can't ride my velocipede.
Not children. Oh, Nellie, show the girls your birthday doll.
All right, but nobody can touch.
The Kitty Carryall. That was Brady Bunch, right? Kitty Carryall.
Yes.
I swear, this is the Brady Bunch-like reference. Episode. I'm going to find 3 more. I don't know.
When she's like this, she's asleep. And when I stand her up, she's awake.
The music is a little bit Brady-ish, like when Cindy's on the screen.
Right.
Like, you know, like dream sequence.
Yes.
Her dress is real silk, and she has real petticoats with real ruffles and real lace.
Now, I do want to say, I just want to preface, the first thing that Nellie said is you cannot touch her.
Right.
Oh.
I told you not to touch.
So, stupid Laura has to touch it. Like, she's, you know, in the book, actually, she learns the same lesson. I wonder if this is kind of an homage to that. It's, Pa is in the book filling ammo. You know, he's putting gunpowder in each bullet.
Right.
And I think that they have to be hot. I don't really know. Maybe he just casts them and they're very, very hot. He's doing something. But you can't touch the bullet because it's very, very hot.
Right.
But they're so, because of the amount of lead, I believe, that was in it, when they're very, very hot, they're very, very shiny. And then when they cool off, like solder, they kind of get gray.
Okay.
So she goes in the book and touches it anyway, and she burns her finger, and she learns a lesson.
Yeah, but that's such a little kid thing to do.
Yeah, like don't touch, and then she touch.
And then it's almost like they have to.
Yeah.
And didn't I just tell you to not touch that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Did you not hear me say that? So yeah, it's just a very little kid thing to do.
It is.
But if you notice in this part, how she's sitting when she gets pushed down, okay? I am wondering how she hurt her ankle in this position. She was sitting like crisscrossed on the floor.
You want to see Indian style.
There's no way She could have twisted her ankle by being pushed over.
She's sitting crisscross applesauce. Or Indian style. Or whatever other way we can call it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm going to watch it one more time. And you'll actually, they even add in the sound effect of the tearing of the lace, which is kind of funny.
And she has real petticoats with real ruffles and real lace. I told you not to touch. You did that on purpose.
I didn't, Nellie. Honest.
You did so. Just because you'll never have a doll this good, you don't want me to have one. I wish I'd never asked you to my party.
Oh, man, Nellie, you mustn't be rude.
And so immediately we're like, wait, hold on. Harriet's being understanding, kind of.
Right. You see, she's not like, think about her a couple of seasons past this.
You did this. It would be her saying you would never get a doll so nice. Get out of my house.
Exactly. She would have been like screaming at her.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It was an accident. Ma can fix it. She's fine on most with a needle.
No, that won't be necessary. I'll have it repaired. Don't be upset, Nellie, dear. You should learn to be more careful with things that don't belong to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Country girls.
It might be wise if you all went outside to play. There's just too many things in here that can be damaged.
Yeah, come on!
See, I don't really see where she would have sprained her ankle.
Jesse's here, come on!
Yeah, she's limping already.
Okay.
What?
There's no way she could have hurt her ankle.
No.
I would have believed it more if she hurt her back, the way she got pushed down. She didn't do anything to her ankle.
Like, they could have even just shoved her down these little stairs or
something. Exactly.
They should have had Nellie do that, like trip her so that she rolled, you know. Jeez. But now she's limping, so she's a lot like Olga now.
Now she can be friends with her.
Right. It's the things that bring you together. It's amazing. Yeah. So nice. So Laura thinks this is a good time to ask Olga about her leg. Olga has a very deep voice. I kind of think I remember that from when she was a young actress.
Yeah, from like Witch Mountain and
Wait, was Kim Richards in Tough Turf?
Oh, I don't know.
All right, I'm going to look this up. All right, I'm going to let it play.
I was going to ask you something. But I better not. Yes. Ma said it's not polite to pry.
You were going to ask about my leg?
Well, kind of. How long has it been that way?
Since I was born.
Maybe. If we walk slow, a lot of frogs down by the water wheel over there. We just might catch one.
They're BFFs now, so that's really sweet. She was in Tough Turf, actually, in 1985 with James Spader.
Oh, okay.
And the thing, we also have Olivia, the girl who played Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting her name. But it's Olivia Barish.
Mm-hmm.
Is also in that movie, which is kind of weird. So you have two Little House in the Prairie minor characters, I guess, in the movie Tough Turf.
And they both have, like, weird voices for little kids.
Kind of, yeah. Freaks. But yeah, I just think that's funny. I couldn't place her, and I probably talked about that. We reviewed Tough Turf on the other podcast. I do VHS Rewind.
.com.
Mm-hmm. So
check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Be offended. So the they're there, and she is a good time at the party, which I think the party kind of ends kind of with no without any type of warning. It just, it's over, right? So back at the Nordstrom's homestead.
Olga, how was the party?
Nice, Grandma. Very nice. The house was grand. Rugs and fine curtains. And they had a clock. It's Tom's papa.
And what did you get to eat?
Cake. Cookies.
We hear it. You have a good time. Get over yourself. So, so Dad being the dad he is, you know, he really can't miss an opportunity to to say this.
Just bring it right down.
Did they laugh at you and call names?
No, Papa.
But you did not play with them. They let you sit in the corner and watch. Tell me the truth.
Inside I watched, but outside I talked to a girl.
One girl? Just one?
A very nice girl, Papa. Laura Ingalls. She hurt her ankle. So we talked.
Always the same. You should have stayed home with your grandma and me.
We had a good time, Papa. I made a new friend.
Let it go, old man. Jeez. She had a good time. She's a belly full of cake.
Yeah, well, he's hell-bent on making her cry.
Did they laugh at you?
They laughed at you, didn't they?
Like, oh, my God. I mean, he's a tortured soul. There's no doubt about it. Nobody would want to electively ask that of their children, you know, said to their children. Holy moly. But meanwhile, back at the little house.
Mary said the fault was more Nellie's than Laura's.
Because that's important, right? I just think, like, they're just sitting there talking crap about everyone else. It's so funny. They are the Esters of the town. And nobody even knows it, right?
Mm-hmm. She also said the dress could be mended in a minute.
Well, it's going to take a lot longer than that for Laura's ankle to heal. She's going to be able to walk to school for 2 or 3 days.
She was unhappy about that until I promised her I'd teach her how to make oatmeal cookies.
Yeah, a little half pint gets hurt pretty easy, but she mends fast.
She mends fast. Even that, this type of dialogue goes away so quickly.
Yes.
The word mend just doesn't exist outside of probably, I'd say, after season 2. I can't even point. You know, once you start introducing new characters, it's over, you know. Yeah. Mend. We even see Ma sewing here. We don't see Ma doing any real sewing.
It looks like she's making a rug.
Yeah, I don't know what.
One of those braided rugs that they sell down in Amish country.
Yeah.
My parents are always big fans of those. That's what it looks like she's making. It looks like she's sewing it together.
She's a showboater.
She wants fancy things too.
Get over yourself. Sew a wall. How about that? So get a big, you know, sew like a big quilt and put it on the wall.
Yeah, to block off your daughter's bed.
Yeah, all those twigs, you know. It's like, don't put your hand in there. It's bugs, you know. It's ridiculous. All right, so we have, they basically ask the kids if they want to have their own party for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
Because they, of course, they want to throw a party. They have this disposable income. They can afford it, right?
It's, of course.
But they're always so poor, but I don't know. They make these kind of weird decisions. But I think it's very nice. It's a little showboaty, being that.
Especially because they just came from a party, and then suddenly they're going to have their own party for no reason.
But they were saying, well, do we have to invite Nellie? And saying that's the right thing to do. But Laura has one thing to say about that, if they do invite Nellie.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if Nellie said no?
What a mensch. So, it's just, and we also lose this type of, like, I guess, wise-ass Laura a little bit.
Yes, and then Pa, I always love when she says these things and the look on his face where he looks like he's genuinely amused by it in real life, not only on
the show. But, you know, I think this is a brutal honesty. Like, it's really biting and funny, I thought. Mm-hmm. So here we have Mary walking with Olga. All of a sudden, Mary's like, well, I'll be your friend, too. So they're just kind of talking about the party they're having, and they're even going to be inviting Nelly. So Olga has something interesting to kind of say about that.
Later. It'll be good for her to come. Poor Nelly.
Poor? The Olsons? They're the richest folks in town.
Nelly is poor. She has no happiness inside.
You know, that's a strange thing to say.
It's like, you know, it's interesting. She sounds all of a sudden like a prophet. Like, it sounds like all of a sudden we're talking about transcendental meditation or something. Right. And like, wow, are you the Maharishi? So, but maybe this is to show us that Olga's a very wise young lady.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma says that you know what's inside a person by the face they wear.
I guess.
People remember all this stuff, right? I don't, like, we went and got lunch today when Ramiel came home from camping.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Chinese place. And they brought us fortune cookies. I could not tell you with a gun to my head what my fortune said.
Right.
At all. And I remember going, oh, that's a good one. This girl, she's quoting, like, well, my grandma said, I don't know.
Well, what else does she have to do? She sits on the sidelines all the time. She has nothing but time to remember.
Actually, I'm sorry. I said Chinese or something. In the world of Little House on the Prairie, they do refer to them as Orientals. That is something that I reviewed an episode of Walnut Grove Cast last night with a girl from Japan. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about that because it came up that the word Oriental. So we got kind of went on a tangent talking about the racism that genuinely existed in the writing of Little House on the Prairie and how it wasn't malicious, but it was just kind of outdated and, right. You know, odd. But yeah. Oddly enough, they do say Oriental more than once throughout the entire run of the show.
Mm.
But, you know, you don't find too many Asian people in the world of Little House on the Prairie.
No, they don't really.
Just that, Jews. That's... Jews! So, here we go.
But I never thought of Nelly that way before. I mean, being poor makes me feel sorry for her. Almost.
Boy, everyone just hates Nelly.
Well, she's not a very nice person.
Not the worst.
No, our mother's probably.
No, Ellen's mom is the worst. And the blacksmith. He's the worst. There are worse. No, but yeah, Nellie's a piece of work. Nellie's just a piece of work. That's all.
Yes.
She hasn't met the right guy yet. She will.
She will.
It's guaranteed. Every day. So we have one of the things that I really like about the sets, the Little House on the Prairie sets, are they're very often very accurate, especially with tools.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a forge set up and he's, you know, he's forging right there in front of his house without the blacksmith, horseshoes, which I just think is so cool.
It is, but it's one of those consistency things. Again, I was watching that episode, I guess, what was it called? She was going to race Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saving, she had to work at the blacksmith's to save up so he could reshoe the horse. But it's like, if Pa can do the horseshoes, why did she have to do labor over at the blacksmith?
Here's something I don't know. I don't know if when you have, when you're shoeing a horse,
mm-hmm.
was that something that was expensive?
I don't know.
Because if that's sure. the case, it might have been more of a priority to... Because I don't think they used Bunny as a standard horse, right? Like, it wasn't like a horse that they used on the carriage.
No, that was just her horse.
Just, you know, it's kind of like a pet horse.
Patty and Judy or somebody. I don't know.
So if we can, you know, if it's expensive, maybe she would have to save up to, for that, because it would be a real secondary type purchase.
Okay.
But I don't know. That's just...
I'll take that.
It's like buying, you know, I guess, shoes for your car, I'm almost saying. tires for your car. Here we go. More non-PC stuff. Mm. But it's 1974, so it's fine.
Why does Patty keep throwing her shoes, Pa?
Told you. You ever notice how that left foreleg of hers is bowed?
And by the way, if he was really foraging, he'd be sweaty and she'd be not anywhere near and there would be a crazy fire going.
Right.
He's barely breaking a sweat, but you can see his chest and it's glistening.
It is glistening.
It's like his olive oil rubbed on it or something.
I gotta give her a special fitting. If I don't get it just right, she keeps throwing that shoe right back at me.
Could I ask you something?
I don't see why not.
It's been on my mind for a long time. And when you mentioned about Patty, what makes cripples?
Well, accidents, mostly.
Not that kind. I mean, like being born crippled. Like Olga. Her legs don't match. One is shorter than the other.
That doesn't seem fair, does it?
No, sir, it sure doesn't.
I'll tell you, Half-Pint, I don't know if I've got an answer that'll satisfy either one of us. Some folks just come into the world that way. I don't know why. I don't think anybody else does either. I do know that most of them seem to be born with some extra special gift.
Is gumption a gift?
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure Olga has gumption.
Well, from what you've told us, she's got a big heart, too.
And a heart is more important than a leg, isn't it?
A lot more important.
Usually we have to wait until the end of an episode for these type of talks, but we get the nice one right here at the 24-minute mark.
That's nice. Heartwarming in the middle.
Yeah. but don't worry. It's going to go away pretty quickly. Meanwhile, over at the Nordstrom's house, Charles shows up and he wants to talk to... He gets the idea from Laura that if you would just put a type of... can you describe it? I don't know if I could describe it that well.
Well, she was saying that when Olga was walking in front of the mill, if she was walking on a plank, it evened out her legs and she was able to walk normally. And then Pa got this bright idea look on his face.
Yeah, like, I'm going to build a platform that she can walk on. For her.
Even though I know nothing about this.
Right. It's a...
I'm going to butt in.
Right.
And do what I do best.
Yeah, it's like it was Dr. Scholl's after he created this item.
This is Mr. Ingalls. He would like to speak to you.
Mr. Nordstrom?
And he's tanning a hide. You know, that's some serious business right there.
Yeah.
And that's also very, very dangerous. It's the chemicals used to tan a hide.
But also what kills me on this is how Pa brings this whole thing up. And I don't know what reaction the father should have had the way he starts off what he's going to say.
Yeah. I'm going to pay attention to that. I'm not really sure what, how he asks. So there we go.
My daughter Laura has made quite a friend in your daughter Olga. Actually, Olga's why I'm here. This is going to come out a little bit awkward, but...
Now, Olga doesn't have very many friends. Why wouldn't he want to be a little bit nice to the guy whose daughter is now friends with his daughter?
Well, because it's, even one friend wasn't good enough.
Yeah. Or maybe scheming or something. It's
like, something.
I've got a pretty good horse, and if I don't fix her shoe just proper, she comes up lame. Special shoe is the difference between being sound and lame. And that got me to thinking. What I'm trying to say is I'd like permission to work on one of Olga's shoes.
You've got a miracle in your pocket, huh?
No, I told you this was going to sound awkward, but I think if I could work...
Olga was born with a lame leg. We accept that. So does she.
We've got a saying in this part of the country, the Lord helps those that help themselves.
It's like all of a sudden he knows all about him. Like, we have a saying in this part of the country.
Right, but they start off the, basically start off the conversation, like, comparing his daughter to his lame horse. Like,
yeah, that is pretty terrible. You know, he's,
but of course, like, I would be, if that, I was him, I would have been like, mind your own business, buddy. Like, who are you? Come right. In, talk about my daughter like that. I mean, it wasn't the best way for Pa to start off the conversation, I don't think.
Yeah, if anything, he could have used the other analogy from Laura.
Right, exactly. Or I have an idea that might help her. You know, just start off that way. Start off with the positive.
I think it would have still ended the same way.
I'm sure it would have, but it just seems weird to compare her
to a lame horse.
A lame horse when you've just met this guy, and you know, to compare his daughter to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm. I'll take care of Olga myself. I don't need your help.
Like, but sir, I'm Charles Ingalls.
You don't understand.
If you go into town, just say my name. People will say, oh, it's Charles.
He can fix everything.
Why don't you like me, sir? I'm not saying you have to like me, but you must like me.
But you pretty much have to like me.
It's just ridiculous. He does have that look of like, do you know who I am?
Right. We have a saying in this part of the country. Charles Ingalls comes to be your friend.
Some bad apple fritters? I don't know. My wife Caroline, if you don't know who I am today, like, you helped me with the seed in the first episode, didn't you? No, like, he would, you know, remember the whole town got together. Like, you were there. You helped me. Jeez.
No, we just moved here.
But we're very settled in.
It's awesome your daughter watches the other children run and play, and she seems to do it with a happy heart, and that's to her credit. I really think if you give me permission to work on that shoe, she might get a chance to do some running herself.
I did not send for you. I do not want you here. I'll thank you to get off my property.
I don't see what harm it'll do to give me a chance.
Goodbye.
In the next scene, it's just kind of crazy. We have Caroline and Charles sawing like a log together. I guess, you know, this is probably a much more realistic scene that we would see in life, but we don't normally see Karen Grassel getting all tattered.
No, she's not usually working like that on the farm.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's tough work. That's not easy. But yeah, they're sawing away, and while they're sawing, the grandmother comes with a pair of the shoes, and she's saying, I want you to fix my girl. They, like, sneaking it, like, you know, like they're smuggling it onto the property.
How does she have two pairs of shoes?
Must be rich.
Probably.
Well, they have that Swedish money. They sell that cheese and chocolate and...
That's right. They are opening up their department stores soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, they do have the money for the patent, so.
Yes.
But the bottom line is we now go through a lot of very visual scenes where Pa's taking measurements and putting shims and, you know, kind of like a little bit more, you know, this and that. And basically Pa's a miracle worker, right?
Of course. Uh-huh.
And I think that's always nice when the child says that, you know, when you're kind of amazing your own child. And Olga finally tries on the shoe and she's like, it's great, it's wonderful. And Laura just makes this comment.
Let's go outside and practice. Before the others get here, they plainly believe that it's a miracle. It is. It's a miracle.
Not a dry eye in the house. And it is a very emotional moment, but it really, it's all visual. So just hop over that. But yeah, They want to basically have Olga show off her new shoes to the friends without kind of telling anyone, which I think is really sweet. They become very close friends in a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's something little kids would do too, you know?
Yeah,
let's surprise them. Go tell them, we'll do this and we'll do that, and everybody will be amazed. You know, it's a very kid thing to do.
I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just saying it's a sweet thing to do.
Yeah. So we have the pack of girls coming down the dusty road.
They're coming! They're all here!
Good, they're on time.
I think I'll just leave you ladies to your guests.
Colored.
Mm-hmm, you're right. Come on.
I'll be taking a bathtub soak in the front yard.
Don't mind me.
Just smoking a pipe in the front. Washing a dog, taking a bath.
Eating some fritters.
Exactly. It'd be like, well, I've got to take a bath sometime. Right now is a better time. It's so funny if something like that actually happened. It's like, you know, like on the cutting floor, on the cutting, cutting room.
Lost scenes.
So Laura once starts kind of scheming here.
Olga, you wait till we're all up in the yard. Let me go outside. Do you remember where I showed you we were going to play?
Yes.
Well, you go sit out there. We'll be out there in just a few minutes. And I'll say, let's play to a cat. Then when your turn comes, you run as fast as you can. And that'll surprise them. Yeah.
So they're going up to the loft to see Laura and Mary's little room. And I just love the comments that all the little girls make.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play it through because it's kind of worth it. Especially Nellie's comment.
It smells so pretty. Look,
where are your dolls, Laura?
Yeah. I don't play with dolls. Play in the creek.
I know where. The white place we passed on the way here. You and Mary shared the same bed?
Yes. Pa made our bed. I have my own bed in my own room. It's too nice of a day to be poking around inside. Let's go outside and play.
Yeah. Come on, Ellie. Come on, everybody.
I have my own bed in my own room. Store bought.
Bought this and bought that.
Jeez. All the girls kind of go out, and I will hand it to Nellie. Nellie might be put in a difficult situation, but she's like a 4D chess type of person. she's always has something up her sleeve.
What do we play?
How about be a cat?
Yeah!
That's a boys' game.
Oh,
we're tomboys. We can use the buckets for bases. Let's play over there. Come on. I'll choose one side, Nellie, you choose the other.
Since I'm a guest, I guess choose first. I choose Mary.
Oh.
I choose Olga.
Which is even funnier because it's... What's worse, you know, like choosing Olga or being on Nellie's team?
Yeah. But also, why does she have Nellie pick the other team when she doesn't like her? You know, usually you would pick somebody else to be on the other team.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
You just said that so when you lose, you can blame it on her.
Well, who says I'm going to lose?
I choose Cassie.
I choose Christy.
Rosemary.
Helen.
All right, so they're playing, and they all of a sudden see that Olga knows how to not only swing a ball and hit it, but also run when she does hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And this music is all just crazy.
He made it for me.
It's wonderful, Olga. I never saw anything like it. You're in Ben and I do now.
It was Laura's idea.
What? No. Country girls.
I'm going to surprise you all.
You surprised us all right.
You sure surprised me.
You surprised Nellie, too.
I think we've seen Rosemary as well. She seems she's so tall.
Like a teacher.
Yeah, it's like,
who is she?
You're like somebody's ma. So, so here Nellie starts yelling.
Surprise Nellie too.
You gonna stand around gawking all day? You gonna play the trio cat?
Now, it's funny because that sounds just like Willie.
Yeah.
You know, you know, like the whining and everything. They really kind of nailed that. So the next 5 minutes is basically the girls just screaming and playing, which is insanity. It's just, oh my God, just relax. So,
well, you don't have girls, or little girls are very loud.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that with my two.
Yeah,
my,
I don't have a girl.
So yeah. Girls are just very, very loud. I don't know why, but they're just very loud.
Well, I know the girls are big in screeching, yelling.
Screaming and yelling with excitement. Half the time we think my daughter is hurt someplace in the house.
Oh, my God.
When she's screaming, and then it's, are you okay? Oh, it's just excited about whatever. Oh, okay.
That absolutely nothing.
Sounds like you broke your leg in 5 places.
Yeah, exactly. So they're playing more and more games, and Olga's having a great time. They're all having a great time. So, you know, Nellie's like, all right, how can I mess with her?
Yep.
So, here we go.
Yeah!
No, it's too hot. I know. Let's all take off our shoes and go wading in the creek.
Not here. In the big pond.
No.
That's no fun.
Said you liked playing in the creek. Said you liked it better in dolls.
That's from there. Kiss a pig. Come on.
Now, this is another example of Laura not really being the best friend in the world to have.
No. But plus the fact that why can't Olga go play in the creek?
I don't know.
It's not like she's in a wheelchair and they're climbing up a mountain. Like, she could take off her shoes and dip her feet and play. I mean, she can walk.
She can't. She cannot. Well, do these things.
No, it's, but they make it like she has like a fake leg and she can't take off her leg and stand in the creek. I mean, it's just, she's managed this far without the shoe lift.
Yeah. I'm sure she's been in a creek before.
Right. But also then why the other girls, everybody just runs off. It's not very nice after they were so happy for her that she could play.
And especially since they just spent like the past week together just doing this whole thing.
Like, oh, yeah, you just stay here. That's fine. And we'll go play.
I will say that it did leave the opportunity for a very sweet scene where Olga's left behind. So she just starts running.
Right.
Because she's so happy that she can run.
Yes.
It reminds me in Harry Potter books, if I can get so lame that way, where, I don't remember what book, but Harry goes with the Muggle family that raised him to a museum of some sort, and the cousin wants some type of ice cream, and they are forced to buy Harry something. So they buy him the cheapest thing on the menu, which is like a lemon icy. And Harry looks at it and goes, oh, I thought, you know, it was delicious. You know, like he didn't look at it as like
a bad,
terrible. He just saw the positive in it. And I think that's Olga. Olga is Harry Potter. Without any of the magic or the scar or the sex or anything. It's just, it's really, it doesn't make any sense. So, Olga is Harry Potter. 100%. All right. So here we are. We're in the water and Laura is going to get some level of revenge on Nellie because she's the worst.
Yep.
Because even this is just very mean, I think. And the music again is there for the crab.
Right.
I don't mind if you go wading in the pond, Nellie, just so long as you don't come over here by this log.
Why shouldn't I go there if I want?
Look there in the grass. That's my special secret place. And since you're my special friend, I'll show you what's there. Real pretty, see? Look over there. Get close. Closer. Get closer. Can you see it? See, get closer. Look out, Nellie! Look out! He'll bite your toe! The other way! The other way! Hurry! Run! Run! Hurry! Go! Run!
And Nellie falls in the swampiest water I've ever seen. Maybe they're all crawfish in it. Holy
cow. Did you Did you see how bad of a stunt double that was who fell into the water?
You know, I didn't really. I'm going to
look at that.
Can you see it? See, get closer. Look out, Nellie, look out. You're right, you're wrong. The other way, hurry, run, run, hurry, go, run.
Yeah. That's really funny. I think that might be Victor French.
It could have been. Yeah, I was just reading, rereading The Confessions of a Prairie Bitch, or
yeah.
Is that the correct title? Yeah. And she was saying in this part, Allison was saying in her book, that this part is where the director of this episode got fired.
Really?
Yes, on the spot, because they were supposed to shoot Nellie falling in with the stunt double and then with Nellie, well, Allison, and Charles didn't do that. I call him Charles. You know, Michael Landon didn't do that. And then the director came and was all mad about that and saying that's what we were supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. And so Michael Landon fired him on the spot. And his family was there visiting, this director's family, that same day. And,
I wonder, I'm assuming that he still got the credit for it. His name is Alf Jellin.
Yes.
From Sweden. Yes.
He still did, but that was the story. I just read it in her book the other day.
Oh, that's interesting. He was actually, he was in, let's see, he directed the first one episode of Whiz Kids, which is interesting, that Matthew Labrador was in. Mm-hmm. But also he had a number, I didn't know this, he also did Vegas from late 70s, It Is Enough.
What oh, I there? Like Eight Is Enough.
Dynasty, not tremendous work in these things, but he made his, he certainly did a lot. He also did a Scarecrow, Mrs. King, which I think is one of those shows that deserves a revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. but we have Barnaby Jones, pretty big shows. The Waltons, he did 10 episodes. Hawaii 5-0, Planet of the Apes, Mannix, which is, you know, pretty big in Gunsmoke. So the guy's been around. He's done so many different amazing things. But mm-hmm. none of them that I know, I would like to go into it a little deeper. Wow, he did 11 episodes of the Alfred Hitchcock Hour. So if any of it is shows underage girls, you know, naked, because it's one of these things that it couldn't have just come out of nowhere. You know, right. It's just so strange.
Yeah.
And I would also love to know if that was edited out of the versions I saw when I was a kid. I would have remembered that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought anything of it, but I don't know. I guess you could look that up. Yeah, I feel like that would be a hard thing to find, though.
Yeah, I think so. The only way I would really be able to find it is if I could find a copy of it from, like, that somebody taped.
Right.
I'm going to get to the bottom of this right now. All right, so here we are back at the Nordstrom's, where they're like, we need to choose somebody to design our logo, and we need to patent this idea. But Mr. Nordstrom finds out the shoes were given to Charles, which, you know.
Again, how did he know that the shoes were missing?
You know, maybe it's possible that she has church shoes and school shoes.
Yes, that could be possible. But also, why would he be looking for them at that time?
To polish them up for church. I don't know.
You have an excuse for everything.
That's I can come up with them. Yeah, not bad. All right, here we go.
I knew you were up to something.
Do you have to shout to your mother?
When you lied to me, yes. Olga had two pair of shoes. She is wearing one pair. What have you done with the others?
Others? No.
Give them to Ingalls.
Yes! Yes, I did!
And again, blue eyes. I just want to point this out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on this friggin' show has blue eyes, almost.
Oh, they all do.
Everyone. I mean, all right. I don't think Michael Landon does.
I think his were hazel.
Oh, really? All right. So, but I count that. I count the non-brown eyes.
You do hazel as a... okay.
It's a non-brown eye.
It is an on-brand.
I can do that. It's just weird. There are so many people on this show with blue, green, or hazel eyes.
Well, even just the, like, there's so many blonde hair people.
Yeah.
You know, even like all the kids at school half the time. Yeah. All these like, blonde headed
Sean children. Penn.
Yep.
A lot of silence. Hold on. Say something. Not you. They're just staring at each other. Dead air, people. So he's going to go over and make an ass of himself at the Ingalls house.
Of course.
I thought there was dialogue there. Sorry. And he basically, Nordstrom goes over there and he confronts Charles.
And look at the camera on this, too.
The camera shot?
Yeah, how they film. They always film Charles from below.
Oh, let me go back. Let me see the setup for the shot.
Ingalls, I told you not to meddle.
I'll be back. You know, it's this guy has like such a, I'm not really making fun of his accent, but he's so dramatic, this guy.
Yes.
I know what you told me.
And he goes after him. Like, does it really deserve to strike a man for trying to help your daughter?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is what your husband would do. How dare you? They're rolling in the hay, having a good old time.
Hold us it.
This is also, I want to take a screenshot of this. The little house is so clean. Like, the wood is so new.
Yeah.
It's, like, insane. Charles kind of forces him to look and, well, they're just kind of scrapping. And he sees that the girls are all playing. And it kind of clicks. But it's like, there's no real apology. There's nothing. He just kind of stops fighting. You think Charles would have punched him back or something? I don't know.
And they're both extra sweaty.
Yeah, of course they are. Probably 104 degrees that day. Yeah, so what do we have here? I'll just play it from here. It's very visual, but he basically sees Olga playing with the girls, forgetting that he just attacked Charles, and it's... So he's very happy. I mean, he's seeing his daughter act like a normal girl, just like all the other girls. He comes over, rather, she comes over to him.
Did you see me run, Papa?
And here we go. Did they laugh at you?
I saw you.
Watch me play, Papa. Watch me play.
I was expecting some apology or something.
Oh, he doesn't say anything. She comes running over in her Herman Munster shoe, and you think he would have said something.
That's pretty mean. But true.
Yeah, it's true, though.
So, yeah, here we are. And this is why I say Christy is a brown noser.
That's the best party in the whole world, ma'am.
Like, what are you trying? It's like, what are you, Dennis the Menace? Like, oh my God.
Eddie Haskell.
Exactly.
I thank you for asking me.
Thank you, Christy. You know, you're welcome anytime.
Are you sure none of you girls need a ride home?
No, sir, thank you. We're just fine.
Well, I'm not just fine. That pond's dangerous, Mr. Ingalls. Got a crab in it that big. Come close to getting my whole toe bit off.
Thank you.
She curtsies.
I love that.
And Charles just is just thinks it's funny. Nobody questions why Nellie is so wet. It's totally fine.
Yes.
Now, the final thought here is when Mr. Nordstrom basically, he admits he's wrong without apologizing, really.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed this, but he's pissed looking.
His face, yes, when he says that, it didn't go with what was going on. But yes, he still looks very angry.
Yeah, I'm going to play it. It's kind of strange, but...
My mother is right. She has a fool for a son.
She did have.
Did this guy just call me a fool? He looks even more angry when it, like, it's so funny. Like, if you just look at the expression on this guy's face, it's like, I'm going to clock this guy. Like,
yeah,
he just looks so pissed off.
Maybe because Charles touched him.
That too. Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange.
Could have been just like a reaction to keep your hands off of me, Ingalls.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, nobody's touched me like this since my wife, Mr. Ingalls.
We're going to be good friends now.
It's like, I like your suspenders. So, slap. So, yeah, it was, I thought it was a cute episode. Right? It's a cute
sweet episode.
And she goes running to play with her friends. And of course, we get to see her grow up on the show and comes back. And it's really adorable that we get to see Kim Richards grow up on the show.
It is.
Yeah.
So but, nice.
Well, she does have a reunion with Sylvia in Tough Turf. I don't know if she expected that. You have to wonder if they had a conversation. Like, hey, I was in Little House on the Prairie too. Because I think Olivia Barish is not happy about that at all. Like, I don't think she is very fond of her time on the show.
Who wasn't?
I don't think Olivia Barish is.
Well, what a crazy episode to be on and to be known for.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really surprised. I would imagine that would be a tough episode to be on. And you wouldn't have maybe the fondest memories of that.
Oh, yeah, that girl who was raped and died. Oh, yeah. Interesting. It's like, that never happened on Little House. Actually, it did.
Yeah, this one, she just got a new shoe. It's a little bit of a happier time.
It's a little bit more of a simple story.
Yes, and plus her sister was on this for all those episodes.
Who? Whose sister?
Kim Richards.
Who was her sister?
It's Kyle Richards, who played Alicia, Mr. Edwards' adopted daughter.
You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that they were related.
Yeah, that's her sister. And she was on it for a while, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Kim was more a better well-known child actress at the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, she went on to do Project UFO and different strokes.
Yes.
She was on Hello, Larry, which somebody brought it up to me. Do you remember a show called Hello, Larry?
I've heard of it, but I never saw it. It wasn't anything that I watched.
She was on 38 episodes, which I'm going to guess is the whole run, actually.
Yeah, on Nanny and the Professor, too, she was on.
What was that?
Nanny and the Professor.
I don't know that. I never heard of that.
That was a big show, but like before my time, before your time, but... I don't think I've ever seen it, but I know of it.
Well, in reality, this is before our time, right? I mean...
sort of, because we would watch it. I watched it, I guess, in reruns, but when did it end? 83?
Mm-hmm.
Could have watched something the new like 84, one still. Yeah. Could have watched the new one still. I would have been in, like, fourth grade at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I fell in love with Laura Ingalls Wilder's writing. It was... You know how, like, there's a book... And it's the first book that you really read and you really click and you're like, oh, I actually enjoy this concept of reading. So I think it was like second grade or something like that. And I had read the books and I just thought it was like the first, you know, when you're at that grade, you're like, you know, it's like an 85-page book takes you like 3 years or something. But I just remember really genuinely loving the whole idea, and it got me into, even now I'm a big reader. And right. So I never watched the show, though, until it went into like syndication.
Okay.
So I've spoken about this, but it would be like from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock every day on Channel 11. Well, where did you grow up? In New York?
Yep.
So you're right. WPIX.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like the same exact, you know, thing. But yeah, it was like WPIX Channel 11 from 5 to 6. So, and I would always, you know, do this secretly because it was a girl show. And
right.
You just don't do that when you're a boy. But then, and when I got older, I realized all of my close friends would confide in me that they were doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And actually, the opening song I have from, written by a friend of mine, where he talks about Little House on the Prairie, he was a big Little House on the Prairie fan, and you would never have expected him to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like a really funny type of thing. So we always talked about, you know, we should write a rock song about Little House on the Prairie. So we did.
And now it's a good song too.
Yeah, they're a very good band. He plays harmonica and sings.
Okay.
And writes. He writes a lot. But he lives over in Norway. So he's a socialist now. Him and Olga might get along very well.
Does your son watch Little House with you?
He will tolerate it from time to time.
Oh, but he's a fan of it.
You know, it's weird. He doesn't dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things, like, I barely got my wife to watch it. So right. Now it's like, if I have to watch it, they'll watch it, but it's...
Yeah, my husband won't watch it. My son will.
Yeah.
And he seems to like it, but he'd rather watch like The Good Place and The Office right now. So that's...
Yeah, we're big fans of The Office.
Yes.
We love The Office.
Yeah.
But you know what? We actually burned ourselves out on The Office. So, mm-hmm. You know, we're watching now is The Simpsons, which I've never watched ever. I'm not a big fan of cartoons.
No. I watched The Simpsons back in the day, but then I got burnt out on that.
Yeah. It's all new to me. So yes. That's kind of funny.
My son has been enjoying The Simpsons also, but that's one thing I can't really watch.
You know what he might like? And this is really, really going. This is my risque choice for a young child.
Mm-hmm.
He's 11, right?
Yes.
All right. So Ramiel's 11 as well. So we had nothing to watch, even though there was, you know, there's more than enough to watch, but we just couldn't find anything that we really wanted to watch. I put on Beavis and Butthead movie. And I got to say, I swear, I've never seen this kid laugh so much.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're at the perfect age. I mean, there's some stuff in there that was totally inappropriate.
Right.
Totally inappropriate. Like, if you put it on, you're going to be like, oh, this is, all right, maybe we have to have a conversation. But... it's so like he was cracking up and he just did not want to watch it at all in the beginning. And now he does impersonations and Beavis and Butthead is really terrible, but funny. And I never liked it. I never liked Beavis and Butthead.
I wasn't a big Beavis and Butthead fan either, but I find that there's certain phrases that we'll still say from it, even though we, like, you know, I didn't really watch it that much.
And there's so much potty humor that it speaks to them, I think.
Well, this is the perfect age.
Yeah, it's just insane. And anything to not talk about, like Minecraft or what is this? He's like really big into what's the thing? It went away, now it's back. Fortnite.
Oh my god,
if I hear one more thing about Fortnite and the real money that we spend to buy virtual things like skins. Like, if I hear one more thing about skins. Jeez.
Yeah, luckily we are not a Fortnite family, but a big Minecraft family.
Yeah, he loves Minecraft.
He
goes back and forth. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing half the time. Now he's he's really into... He's into too much to even get into. But, Megan, I want to thank you so much for coming on here. Hopefully you return.
Well, thank you. It was a little nerve-wracking, but it was a lot of fun.
Nerve-wracking or just, like, being your first time? It was...
No, you know. I guess a first-time nerve-wracking.
Well, look, I've never restarted an episode, and I've never had my computer stop recording in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are all good signs that you kind of rolled with it.
Yeah, I tried.
Well, hopefully you keep coming back. Whatever, I don't know. It's like all of a sudden like hopefully an AA meeting.
You're not Olga, and we never see you again.
Yeah, sadly we do never see her again, but but you can make believe that she is the stuttering girl. You
know, yes.
It's like, oh my God, what happened to her? They fixed up her shoe and now she stutters. Like, this girl's really a lot of problems. Or the poor Nordstrom's.
Yeah.
What is the next episode? I never, that's one thing.
Maz Vacation, I think.
Yeah, I didn't like Vacation.
Maz
Holiday.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It was cute. I mean, I love Mr. Edwards, and I'll watch any of the one season. I love him from the first movie, the pilot yes. movie.
Yeah. Where he shows up with some potatoes, and she's like, oh, my God.
Oh. She makes, you know, popcorn eyes at him.
Exactly. A little too much. Yeah, it's like they're all in this, like, little shack.
Oh. But he's so sweet, and I just love, like, he's, you know, he's rough. And Carolyn doesn't like him too much in the beginning, but it's like he's a sweet person.
Yeah.
And she finally gets to see that. And I like that, you know.
Yeah, me too. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.